Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. I'm your host, Joanna DeVoe, and this is a happy, hippie place where magic with a K meets the law of attraction. Hi, thanks for joining me for episode 37 of Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. My name is Joanna DeVoe, and I am the glamorous magic-making creatrix behind Kick-Ass Witch, Putting the K in Magic, and of course, Hippie Witch, the show you are listening to right now. I also have a free ebook by that name, Hippie Witch, Peace, Love, and All That Good Shit, and you can pick up a copy of that at www.joannadevoe.com. And yes, today is an extra show. I'm doing an extra show this week. Today's episode is a follow-up to yesterday's show on how to perform a glamour. I didn't realize that I had so much to say about that subject. And as I got about to the halfway point on that show, I started getting all flustered and trying to squeeze it all in because I realized I was running out of time. So, of course, it's live, and I made a couple of mistakes that are going to bug me until I set them straight because I don't have the ability to edit these shows. So the best I can do is make some corrections today, which you probably don't even care about. It's really just for my own peace of mind. So correction numero uno. Hollywood adopted the word glamour in the early 1900s, not the early 19th century. Duh, big difference there. And even more annoyingly, I screwed up one of the most iconic lines from a movie that I love so much. I have seen it at least 24 times, maybe more. Yes, I obsess like that. And the line is from Working Girl, best movie ever. And it's when Tess McGill is about to infiltrate the fancy people at the fancy party with her great big hair and enlist the help of her best friend, also with the great big hair, to chop it all off. And she says, if you want to be taken serious, you need serious hair. And Tess McGill said that, not the other way around. I can't believe I screwed that up. Just shows what a poor excuse for a super fan I am, because I really love that movie. But anyway, I digress. What really made me want to talk about glamours in the first place is a book that I've been reading called The Girl with No Shadow. I think it used to be called Lollipop Shoes, or maybe in the UK it's called Lollipop Shoes, and here it's called The Girl with No Shadow. But it's by Joanne Harris, who is an amazing writer, and it's the sequel to my favorite novel, Chocolat, which you may have seen the movie with Juliette Binoche and Johnny Depp. It's a pretty popular movie, and that movie was based on a book, a very good book, and that book has an equally good sequel, The Girl with No Shadow, which actually has a lot more magic in it than the first. So if you like the first and you like magic, you'll probably really love the sequel. It's just a lot of fun, and one of the main characters is new to the story, and her name is, or maybe it isn't, Zosie de Lauba, and she specializes in glamours, and she does them all through the book, just little glamours. It's like subtle, but that's sort of like her specialty, and she also performs a lot of cantrips, and I hope that I'm saying that right because I've never encountered that word before reading this book, C-A-N-T-R-I-P. Cantrip, the word, like the word glamour, it's of Scottish and magical origin, and it's basically a spell or a trick, but the way that it's used in the book is as a kind of manipulation of other people's thoughts and feelings through the use of symbols drawn by finger in the air or on an object. So it's kind of another type of glamour, I suppose. If you consider a glamour to be, as we defined it yesterday, a spell cast to make somebody see things in a different way. Now, Zosie de Lauba is extremely charming and fun, and it's really easy to fall in love with her, even though she's a fictional character. But she also happens to be the bad guy. And her actions really called to mind that age-old debate in the witchy community of whether or not it's okay to mess with someone else's free will. For example, by using magic to make them fall in love with you or to sell you a piece of property at an unfair rate. And you may be a person who feels that performing a glamour in order to make somebody see things in a different way is, in fact, interfering with their free will. And if you are one of those people, I would suggest that you reconsider your push-up bras or that fancy sports car or what is commonly referred to as your game face. Have you ever put on your game face? Do you have a game face? Do you, for example, behave differently at work when you're trying to impress the big boss than, say, when you're driving your toddler to preschool? Do you put on a certain tone of voice when seducing your lover or a particular way of carrying yourself when you feel you're going into enemy territory or even just going home for the holidays, which for some of you might be the same thing? And does that mean that you're being deceitful and manipulative or mature and appropriate to the occasion? You probably don't even realize that you are doing these things, so I doubt you would call them manipulative, at least not on a conscious level. But humans and animals, as I pointed out in yesterday's show, are manipulative creatures. We have to be to survive. We manipulate the world, including the people around us, all the time, just in order to survive. And we were born that way. Babies manipulate their parents into changing their diapers, bringing them milk, and picking them up by the sound of their cries. And science has actually measured these cries to determine that babies have their own special language and that they actually use different cries to achieve different means, which any conscious, present mother could have told you without the help of these scientists. And at first they do this instinctively, but as any parent will tell you, what's really interesting and funny and not so cute after a while is when your baby starts learning to manipulate you and other people on a conscious level. And you just, one day, you just notice the lights go on and a little change in which they're like, hey, I've got this crying thing all figured out, and it's really cool. And that's when they start turning on the waterworks on purpose and with the desire to manipulate, to get what they want. And some of these charming little babies go on to explore the power of the temper tantrum, which they soon find out can be especially effective in public places. But I'm sure you were not like that at all when you were a toddler. And I am one of those new agey type of people who is deeply interested in authenticity. I want to be authentic in everything I do, and I am interested in surrounding myself with authentic people. So it's interesting to consider how, or even if, glamours might fit in to the scheme of things for an authentic person or someone who considers themselves authentic. I'm such a navel gazer. I can sit around and think about a word like that, and it starts to just completely fall apart. And by the end of it, you know, I'm like, what is authenticity? Can one really be authentic? You know, I can go in circles like that, which you probably know if you listen to my show. And remember yesterday when I was talking about salespeople and how many of them use techniques that are very much like glamours to make sales, that's kind of when I started realizing I needed to do another show today and that I was totally out of time. So I want to pick up where I left off there now. So building on that, this type of selling involves developing rapport with a customer or a potential client. And if you ask me, it is a lot like casting a spell. So rapport occurs when two or more people feel that they are in sync or on the same wavelength because they feel similar or they relate to each other well. And a skilled salesperson will utilize mirroring and matching techniques to manufacture a sense of rapport. They will match the customer's body language, breathing patterns, and speech in order to elicit feelings of being simpatico. It puts the other person at ease and makes them feel like they are safe, that they're in good hands and with a member of their own tribe, which makes them much more likely to buy whatever the salesperson is selling. And these techniques have become so infamous that many people in the general public are onto them now and highly suspicious of these salespeople. And kind of in the same way so many of us are suspicious of celebrities now with their gratuitous plastic surgery and the rampant photoshopping that's going on. We don't like to be fooled. It pisses us off, and we've actually become so used to it that we're kind of like cynical and jaded to it, a little suspicious. And so techniques like this can actually backfire on the user or the practitioner, if you will. So it's a tricky game. And I think that's why so many people are eager to hand over $2,000 to attend Marie Forleo's online B school for entrepreneurs, because she's so, in her videos, she's so likable and friendly. She creates that sense of rapport through the camera. You feel like, oh, I know her. She's so funny. I totally get her. She's just like me. She just has the ability to put that through the camera to you. And I'm not saying that that's not authentic to who she is. It probably is. But with that rapport built in, she then goes on to promise that she will teach you how to sell without using these sleazy, transparent sales techniques that we're all so turned off by, and without feeling like a slime ball, which is what I was talking about yesterday, why I have a problem with sales. I just don't like feeling icky, you know. But her whole shtick is that the world needs what you've got, that you have been given your special gifts in order to give them, and so you're really doing the world a huge disservice if you don't learn how to properly market those gifts and to make sales, basically. So is that just another glamour? I don't know, but it's a good one. And it brings up the point that you can perhaps use the power of performing a glamour for good. And while I'm on the subject of making sales, I do have one more word of warning. Salespeople who purposely manufacture a sense of rapport can use extended periods of eye contact to connect with their victims or their customers. And as the eyes are the windows to the soul, this technique can be very effective. It's like a way of connecting soul to soul. And it's effective in all areas of life, from seducing a lover to making friends to getting a last-minute upgrade at the airport. It is freakily effective, actually, and one of the most hypnotic things that you can do. But I suggest using this technique with extreme caution. This is a power that you do not want to wield lightly. Seriously, be careful who you hold suspended eye contact with, because certain people will become so charged up by this, and you can get some really funny or not so funny reactions depending on the person. And it took me personally a long time to figure this out, because, and this isn't really related to sales, but somewhere in my 20s, I don't know, my 20s are kind of a blur, but I learned how to make eye contact with people in a very genuine way that I felt I was like seeing the people who they really were and seeing past their facades, and it felt very good and connected, and the other person felt really good and connected to me. And I thought that it was just a really beautiful spiritual way of being in the world. And I still do to some extent, but I learned how to turn it on and off. And I learned this pretty quickly, because when I first realized that making this kind of eye contact with people would create this instant sense of rapport, I got some very weird reactions. I had a couple of kind of stalkery people that followed me around and scared me really bad. Or a lot of times men thought that I was hitting on them when I was not interested at all. And So you have to be careful with that. You have to be conscious of what you're doing and just be careful of who you are establishing rapport with and make sure that you are conscious of your, both your motivations and theirs. And another thing I did that I think is fun every once in a while, but I did not read this in any book. I just made this thing up that I called shining because it's hard to explain what it is because it's sort of like something I do from within, but I guess the best way to explain it is I would like turn it on. You know, I learned how to kind of turn on the charisma or turn on the energy or the lights, like make them brighter and lighter, you know, and it was really fun to maybe like go to the grocery store like that and just people were magnetized to that. And I learned that I could attract attention in this way and that was kind of fun and people would go out of their way to talk to me and they would stare at me and, you know, strangers would strike up conversations. But like I said, men would end up hitting on me. One man actually threw his phone at me. Accidentally, he just like kind of stumbled and chucked his phone and it hit me and it was like this really funny, embarrassing moment. But again, I realized kind of like with the eye contact, that started attracting some unwanted attention and started making me very uncomfortable. So you have to tread lightly when you're doing this. And I wouldn't say that that was a moment of inauthenticity. It was about like amping up my own feelings of joy and bliss and happiness and appreciation and gratitude. It was a way of almost like stepping into the vortex of all things like awesome and life felt brighter. And I think people were just attracted to that. So there can be authenticity to like turning it on. But I also think there is, you know, wisdom in being able to turn that dial down and know when to turn it off and on. And I kind of, again, went off on one of my tangents, but it's kind of relevant. That's from my own personal experience and not something that, I read out of book somewhere because, you know, I'm a big old book nerd. And a lot of, you know, that's about turning your own energy up or making that connection through eye contact. But a lot of these mirroring techniques that I'm talking about, mirroring and matching, it comes from something called neuro-linguistic programming, which is usually just called NLP for short. And I put a couple of links in the resource list that you can check out by a guy named Drew Schiller. I don't really know who Drew Schiller is. I just wanted to dig up some really basic beginner videos that I could put in the resource list and I thought this guy did a really good job explaining. He has one called The Psychology of Verbal Mirroring and one called Body Language Mirroring Techniques Increases Sales or Technique Increases Sales. So if you want to learn more about NLP and how that's used in sales, you can do that. But basically, NLP, Neuro-Linguistic Programming, it covers a lot of territory, and it's used in personal development, hypnotism, politics, psychotherapy, and I guess it too could be used for good or bad or, you know, ill will, however you want to look at it. But it involves the manipulation of your own emotions and states, as well as those of other people, through the use of specific language and behavioral patterns. And I first learned about NLP through Anthony Robbins, who I've been a fan of since I was 17 years old. Love Anthony. I don't care if you think he's cheesy. He rocks. And his approach, or what I first learned from NLP, was really about manipulating your own state and your own emotions to get into an improved state, to get shit done, basically. He wasn't so much about manipulating other people. But I do believe that when you change that your emotional state and that your feelings have an impact on other people. I believe it's our emotions that are the most magnetic when it comes to like the law of attraction and magic and things like that. So when you do manipulate your own emotions to create a different state, you are in effect manipulating those people around you because we are all connected. We are all one. And again, this technique is quite popular with salespeople, and one of its more famous techniques, technique within the technique. I don't know. I guess NLP is a field, and one of its more famous techniques is that of mirroring or matching, which I keep mentioning as it applies to creating a sense of rapport with a potential customer. And just keep in mind that this can be applied to any number of situations beyond making sales. But for some reason, making sales and seducing a lover seem to be the two things that keep coming to mind for me. So what does that say about me? A lot of people think that these techniques, that it means literally copying the person that you're engaged with. So if they cross their legs, you cross your legs in the exact same way. If they scratch their nose, you scratch your nose. You know, if they twirl their hair, you twirl their hair. But unless this is done by a very skilled and discreet practitioner, it does not come off that smoothly, and it might make you look a little bit crazy, like, you know, a monkey playing a goofy game of copycat. And like I said before, we're all kind of on to this whole shtick, and it's probably not going to work that well, and you're just going to annoy somebody if you sit there copying them. And, you know, you'll hear a lot of salespeople or therapists even, you know, you'll say, I hate my parents. And they'll say, so what I'm hearing you say is that you hate your parents. So that's like a kind of verbal mirroring that creates that rapport. But it can be much more effective to come at it from a place of, dare I say, heart-centeredness and authenticity. So what might that look like? Before you have that job interview or that sales pitch or that hot date, whatever it is, you know, you can spend some time meditating or doing some breath work just, you know, to get yourself grounded and centered. You can get clear on your intention, maybe saying a little prayer that your eyes and ears and heart will be open to seeing the truth of this person and that you intend to be genuinely of service to their needs. So, you know, you're getting grounded and centered, and you're going in with a positive intention to be of service and to really see that person, really. And it's not that complicated. It's about being present in the moment and not being all up in your head, you know, making judgments or thinking about what you're going to say next. It's just being open to the person that is in front of you and taking that all in. And then from that place, you can really feel and mirror back that person's energy in a larger way. So it's not like about scratching your nose when they scratch their nose. It's just about mirroring back the vibe. And you can match them on an energetic level if that feels good to you. And then you can be a match to that. And if it doesn't feel good to you, you know, that's when these kind of shielding techniques can come in handy, or if you, you know, that's a whole other subject. I'm not going to go off on that tangent because I only have a few more minutes. But you need to learn how to, like I said, dial it down and be able to close yourself up if you don't like what you're feeling from the person that you originally intended to connect with. Maybe their energy is making you feel really bad and you just want to get the hell out of there, and you are completely entitled to that. But anyways, you can get on the same wavelength with the person, and you can start experiencing the same feelings, and you may find that eventually, or sooner rather than later, you start having the same thoughts, and you might even start finishing each other's sentences, which can happen when you're on a really good date. You know, and another way to look at this, when I'm thinking about, my mind's jumping around a little bit, but I was thinking back to what I said about Anthony Robbins not using NLP typically on other people. I do recall an instance, something, and I've talked about this here on the show in another episode, but you can change somebody's states by breaking their pattern of thinking, and I just feel like throwing that out there right now because it popped into my head. But he'll say, like, people will come to see him, and they'll be like, oh, I'm so blah, 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 I'm so miserable, and this is awful, and I can't, and they'll just, you know, maybe they'll even start crying. And he'll, really serious and firmly, he'll be like, we haven't started yet. And the person will, like, suck it all up, and all of a sudden their entire energy changes. And they're like, oh, I'm sorry. And they, like, immediately shut off the tears and, like, pull it all up and in, and they're, like, present to the moment. So it's interesting to think that this kind of works both ways. Like, you can get into somebody else's energy field, and you can also bring them into yours. And NLP is really interesting like that. It is really similar to glamours. And if you look up glamour and magic, there is not a lot of information on it on the internet. There aren't really books on it. There's like an old paper that somebody wrote, you know, late in the 1800s. It's kind of interesting. I think I found one blog post that was kind of interesting, but it was really just riffing on the word glamour through time and how, I mean, it even gets down to like Glamour magazine. So it's not specific about magic. So for my take on it, a glamour is kind of, it's like this. People see what they want to see. But the trick to performing a glamour is to make them want to see what you want them to see. And if you want to, you know, think in ethical ways, the trick to performing an ethical glamour is to serve their vision and their highest good and then reflect that back at them. So I hope that this was fun. It was fun for me. Some of it was a little hard to explain because it's more about like a feeling, like when I was talking about my own experience with this, but I encourage you to play around with it. It's really interesting. And for me, the grocery store is one of my favorite realms for playing around with this stuff. My whole shining technique, it's interesting to see how our energy affects other people. And today I really just wanted to avoid talking about glamour as we think of it being more of a superficial thing, which is completely effective and powerful. I'm not saying it's not, but I spent so much time talking about that yesterday. But for sure, the way you dress, the way you move, the way you talk, that all has an impact on other people. And you can call it an illusion, you can call it a trick, you can call it deceit, call it what you will, but it's effective. And I think it can be fun. I think glamour can be a lot of fun, and I definitely enjoyed talking about glamour these couple of weeks or these couple of days, and next week I will be talking about gratitude, which is, it's not one of my favorite subjects to talk about as much as it is one of my favorite spiritual practices that I actually use in my life on a daily basis. So I am kind of excited to talk about that next week. And since Thanksgiving is coming up, which I know is a controversial subject now, which is crazy. We're so politically correct these days that we can't even enjoy Thanksgiving anymore. I have guilt about going to see my family on Thanksgiving. So, Thanksgiving's all screwed up now for the New Age community because we have guilt about the Native Americans for good reason. I'm not saying we shouldn't. But I don't want to throw out this family tradition that for me has always been about family, food, and gratitude, three things that I think are valuable and important. So for me, that's what Thanksgiving is about, family, food, and gratitude. I think that if you want to enjoy Thanksgiving and if you have those feelings of guilt that, you know, there are ways to... 90 seconds, I got that warning again. Here I am going off on another tangent. There are ways to, I think, make friends with that guilt and to maybe turn it into being of service, donating to a charity that, you know, that you feel empowers the Native American community, doing a ritual of gratitude to them, or asking for forgiveness for our ancestors that fucked their shit up. I don't know, but I'm going to continue enjoying Thanksgiving. And I'd actually, if you want to bump me a message on Facebook, I'd love to hear what your take is on it, because I see a lot of this going around on Facebook about how Thanksgiving is really the celebration of this massacre. And it's ruined quite a few Thanksgivings of mine, but this year I've decided I'm not going to let it, and I'll just deal with it in my own special way. And I'll talk about that a little bit next week. So much love to you, and I will see you next Tuesday, or you will hear me next Tuesday.